Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb!
Drop the bomb!
We're gonna drop the bomb!
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Breathwork is also incredible for, I'm going to call it off-gassing or siphoning off or decompressing kind of excess energy, energy of frustration, energy of anger. When something is just really zinging you, you can sit down and, you know, off-gas a thousand couple body breath. Come out of it feeling like just kind of like relieved and reset. Like breath is probably one of the most underrated tools.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever the day it is, whatever the time it is, you are at the right place at the right time with the right person. I am your host, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, and welcome. Come on in. Welcome to the show. I am the creator of Sound Bombing. Yes. And my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential. Did you hear that? To help you unlock your full potential. I love, love, love doing this show because I get a chance to meet and introduce you to some amazing people. I get a chance to bring people into my studio to pour into me. Basically, I'm being really selfish, but I'm allowing you to, as a kid say, ear hustle, to listen to the people that I'm talking to. It's almost like you are in a place and you actually physically aren't there, but you get a chance to put your ear to the door, or as they used to do on TV, I don't know if it ever worked, you put your glass to the wall and you get a chance to hear what people are talking about. That's what this show is about. I am bringing you into my space to hang out with some of my new, old, existing friends, to let them share with you some of the amazing things that they have done. I create this show because I need some help and I need some support. And so my producers, my engineers, and I, we read tons of emails, we read tons of blogs, and we listen to other shows, and we look for some of the most amazing people on the planet who are going to pour into you. And so, you know, and if you don't know, I love fitness, I love wellness, and it is my lifestyle being a vegan, and I also love yoga. Shout out to my good friend, Shireen Robinson, who was just trained in a form of yoga called Kamedic Yoga, which focuses on African-centered ways of practicing yoga. So congratulations to Shireen, who is an assistant principal at a school system, and she felt that she needed to learn a new craft, because when you're working with young people, believe me, or if you're working around any people, you need some type of balance, some type of breath work. You need to remove yourself and pull back in yourself, because say it with me, self-care ain't selfish. So today is no different. Today, my next guest is the current head coach of International Yoga Sports Federation, a senior international yoga teacher, breath work facilitator for trauma release and Kundalini activation, an intuitive spiritual counselor, of course, spiritual study group leader, Reiki master, QHHT practitioner, public speaker, and workshop leader on the subject of consciousness, mindfulness, body, breath, yoga, and spirit. Who am I talking about? No one other than Kim Tang. Kim Tang, welcome to the Sound Bombing Studio. Look at you glowing. Hey, thank you. Hey, what's happening, friend?
Oh, it is fantastic to see you, and massive yes to every single thing that this conversation is about to be.
Well, I need it because I have been working my fingers to the bone, serving young people, serving adults, serving my own children. And so bringing you on is a breath of fresh air. Before we get the party really, really started, let my listeners know where you are calling in from. And we like to do a wellness check because I want to know how you are doing.
Thank you. So I am in Yucca Valley, which is the Joshua Tree area of Southern California. And just for the reference, we call it the High Desert because the Palm Springs area that has name recognition is at sea level. So that's called the Low Desert. And then, of course, Big Bear, which is like a mountain resort, is the mountains. And we're in the middle. We're in a desert, but it's at 3,500 feet elevation. So it's called the High Desert. It's kind of halfway down there and halfway up there. And of course, you know, Joshua Tree National Park is a destination. So we're about 10 minutes away from that. And I have a small private event center called Yucca Shala. So it's an event center for the healing arts and spiritual sciences. And that is actually where I am coming to you from.
Wow. So what you don't know, Kim, and I don't believe in coincidences, just today on Facebook, I love Facebook reminders, especially when they're great. Like if you're not posting something that's negative and it comes back a year round, guess where I was, Kim? I just want you to take a guess. We didn't practice this at home. Where do you think I was in 20? Hold up. Let me just look it up real quick. I want to be specific because I just sent this to someone. And I want you to take a wild guess of where I was. I'm going to do this in real time. I was in April 17th, 2014. Just take a wild guess of where I was.
Los Angeles.
Close. Palm Springs. Oh. And the day before, I was in Joshua Tree, hiking and preparing for some training. My partner, Dr. Marina Gilmore, shout out to Dr. Gilmore, is from Palm Springs. And on Facebook today, there was a photo that actually posted of me, several students, and my mentee, Devon Brown. And I sent it to him. And he said, where were we? Were we in Los Angeles? I'm like, no, dude, we flew into Los Angeles. We drove to Palm Springs, and then we went to the desert. We went to Joshua Tree to prepare for our retreat. We created a retreat called, it was called the Spark Retreat. It was for educators. We did our very first one. There's a dome that Marina's dad, you've probably seen this geometric dome. It's a beautiful home. He actually sold it. So how in the world did we get connected today? On this day that I was there in
2014.
So the energy and the vibration is already high because the only thing I knew about Joshua Tree was from a group. You know who I'm talking about. Bono was the lead singer of a group. I was like, where in the ham sandwich is Joshua Tree? And I go out there and it was beautiful. And so for you to take me, but now I'm a little jealous because now I'm feeling some kind of way. But the fact that we are connected. So welcome to the show. We have a lot to talk about. I'm very familiar with where you are. I'm very familiar with that area working in. Of course, they just had the Coachella Valley, the concert. So I did all of those things when I was out there. And so my partner and I, basically, Kim, just to let you know, we're both educators. She taught in Palm Springs. I taught in Chicago and on the East Coast. And Kim, we were really, really burned out at one time in our lives as educators. And we thought, wouldn't it be great to pour back into the people who do the most, but get the least amount of positivity? When you look at what's happening in education, when you look at what's happening to nonprofit leaders, people who are pouring in to individuals, we decided to create this initiative called the Spark Retreat. And so it was like our give back to educators. So that's how we got started. So I want to talk with you. How did you get started on this wellness journey? And then where do you want this work to go? So tell us your story, your origin story of wellness.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And there are no, as you said, coincidences, only the incidence of two vectors coinciding. Mm-hmm. And just before I get started, always my practice is to begin with love and gratitude. They are the highest frequencies. And so I bring this into our space. And I am you, by the way. And I see you, by the way. And
Ubuntu, Saubona, I see you. Yes.
And these are probably greater aspects of our talking points on the level of both consciousness and spirituality. So not just the practical, tangible kind of material aspect of daily life, but on the unseen levels. And you and I, we are the same in the way that I call self-cultivation leads to service. You self-cultivated. And I want to say, as that student walking into Senior Hogan's class, is that right, Senior Hogan? Yeah. And by the way, in that setting, you actually felt really judged. That was kind of the foundation of your learning, right?
So just to let you guys know, Kim is referring to my TED Talk that I did several years ago. I like people to do their homework. Continue.
Yeah, thank you. So the thing is that you grew through that platform of learning, and as did I. So I started a practice of yoga, hot yoga, in about 2003. And there are many stories that I tell about what brought me to yoga and what got me in yoga. And if we have time for those stories, I'd love to share them. But suffice to say that what I started doing was really doing the inner work through a practice of yoga asana. So the journey through the self to the self. And all of that became self-cultivation. So I was in a time in my life that I come to call creation. And what I would do is what I like to call just nurture the seed, nurture the seed, nurture the seed, nurture the seed. And then I would come up and share kind of big and large on social media. And then I would just nurture the seed, nurture the seed, nurture the seed, nurture the seed, and then just come up and share and nurture the seed, nurture the seed. And it kind of went on and on actually for years. And then by the time I really kind of came to the surface, I had people from all over the world asking if they could come. They used to call it play with Kim Tang, come learn from me, come practice with me. And it turned out that my self-cultivation led to the way that I serve now. But I've expanded so far beyond that. I think I want to tell you that my sphere of influence through yoga is the smallest facet now of how I serve. So at this point, so you're asking me like, where do I want it to go? Is the moment I stand in now, like literally where my feet are on the earth in this moment, is that when people ask me that question, what do you do? I have to tell you that saying I'm a yoga teacher is kind of the very smallest part of the answer. It's like the tip of the iceberg. So the answer that I give now is to the question, what do I do? Is I be me in the form of anything that presents. So I serve sometimes in the form of sharing myself in the form of teaching yoga. Sometimes it's sharing myself in the form of intuitive spiritual counsel. Sometimes it's sharing myself in the form of quantum healing hypnosis technique or alchemy of meditation and alchemy of breath. Or sometimes it's just by standing in the right place, in the right time, letting someone know that I see them, for who they are in truth. So that's become kind of the biggest part of service, which, by the way, is exactly what you said, if I may say. You didn't say it in those words, but you said like you're exhausted just kind of with all the doing. But your true service and mine is even less in the doing. Like the doing are the details. So our service is in the being. And the ability to serve through the being came through the self-cultivation that you shared in your TED Talk and that I share in my stories as well.
I love when you talked about the doing versus the being. You know, one of the things that I've helped people do is to sort of shift their thinking, because in this country that we live in, and probably other countries because I've traveled as well, we get so caught up in the doing. We put together our to-do list. We put together our honey-do list. We put together all of these different lists. But what we need to start doing more of is putting together this to-be list. You know, again, we're grading kids on certain things that they do, but what about being kind? What about being present? What about being aware? And I think quite often those other doings cause us to be exhausted, but the being present can be challenging. Talk to me about some strategies that you use to help busy people to be present with all of the devices that they have and all the access, all the dopamine fixes that we're looking for, that we look forward to do. How are you helping people to be present?
Okay, now I love this question and thank you for asking it. And I also like the free flow of it. Right now, I'm going to refer to my yoga background and I'm going to talk to you about the consciousness with which you conduct your practice is the same as the consciousness with which you conduct your life. So you're meant to learn it on the mat, to use it in your life. And most importantly, it's not even about the posture. So the posture is just what I'm going to call the tool we use to get there and the indication that we have. And let me give you an example of what I mean by that. So there is this posture called standing head to knee pose. It's Dandayamana Janyasarasana, and it is a forward compression posture that is standing and balancing on one leg. And that posture is merely a tool that we use to learn how to concentrate and to stop, drop, and vortex and command everything we need. And by the way, more importantly, nothing that we don't. So once, and by the way, you have to be very flexible to get in this position, but you have to be very, very strong to hit it and hold it in stillness against gravity. And so the posture is merely a tool that we use to learn how to concentrate, and being able to hit it and hold it in stillness against gravity is the indication that we have learned how to concentrate. So if I could just kind of keep the question flowing or the answer flowing, I want to tell you that I'm a little bit like the queen of the universe in backbending. And there's not a backbend I have not done. And you can see all the posts on the social media. I'm going to call it pushed into a lock, walking up the stairs, a steep staircase in a wheel. I've walked around blocks and I've done backbends on the bimini of boats in rocky water and swinging on swings and so on and so on. And what I want to tell you, because this is even a more profound answer to your question, is that I'm never actually saying, oh, look what I can do. Look at this backbend. Look at this backbend. What I like to say to you is, let me tell you what I learned by doing this backbend. And let me tell you what I learned by doing that backbend. And since you and I have a deep love for inspiring youth, I'll tell you a personal story that's also actually very recent. And that is that there is a teenager that I coach for a world stage. And I call that daring to believe in yourself in the form of standing on the X. And she's a very, very accomplished girl with grace and intelligence and mindfulness. Yet she's just in the heat of it all. She's in the thick of it all. She's in the high school years with, you know, APs and college applications. And she does Bollywood dance and of course the yoga, and she's just got a full plate and she's starting to feel just really a lot of stress. And so I have the privilege, I get to help equip her with life skills that are the lessons in yoga. And the first one is very important. It's what I've already touched on. And that is that concentration facilitates meditation. And the meditation facilitates transformation. And what that looked like in a short form is that I helped her cultivate a practice of what I call long hold wheel. And by the way, you mentioned breath just in the introduction. So the conversation just gets kind of more and more expansive because I teach on every level of being. It's not gymnastics, it's yoga. So the first and most important thing is that when you're doing these back bends, it's not even about bending your spine backwards. It's about connecting to calm, deep breath while you bend your spine backwards. Because if you can breathe there, then you can spend time there. And if you can spend time there, then you can calm down there. And if you can calm down there, then you can do some work there. And if you can do some work there, I like to say, then you can get to know yourself in that position and love your life in that position. Mm-hmm. So first of all, it's a lesson in breath, contracting what you need to support yourself in the posture and relaxing everything else, which in every single posture is your face, your mind, and your breath. So now that we're in this posture, we're talking about keeping it on the clock. So say maybe the first big goal is holding it for 1 minute. And I want to tell you that that alone is a task. And I like to prepare everyone, youth and adults, for triumph, for success, by, I call it spoon feeding the millimeters. Start where you're at, do what you can, always and only with breath and with form. Give them something to reach for. Let it be a challenge, but let it be an achievable challenge. And then when they have the success, you give them another, and so on and so on. And so the point of this is not how long can you hold a wheel. Isn't it ironic? It's not about how long can you hold it. It's about how long can you hold it from the time your mind tells you, I can't do this anymore, I have to quit. Mm-hmm. So what happens is it's a lesson in the mind. Everyone thinks that they are their thoughts, and they believe that the thoughts are true. And the thoughts are thinking them like rapid fire popcorn. They can't even count or keep track of or categorize the thoughts. So this lesson of the long hold wheel, the lesson of the breath, the lesson of the concentration is, and the goal, by the way, the goal and the challenge is not how long can you hold it, but how long can you hold it from the time your mind says, I have to quit. And so there's a story here. It's a cultivation of the aspect of the mind that you can learn through concentration. And that is, I should just throw it in there in this moment. When I talked to you about self-cultivation leads to service, there was a time when I was really just exploring everything I can learn in the form of a backbend, in the form of a practice. And I actually did, I'm going to call it train up to holding a 1 hour wheel. I do believe that's the world record because I looked it up. I Googled it. Everything is Googleable, right? So I Googled it and I found some 7 minute wheels from some, you know, gymnast girls, but just absolutely positively nobody on the record that I can find who hit and held a wheel for a solid hour. So I did film it, and I even added, you know, 1 hour plus just to make sure. And posted it, and even applied for a world record. And I don't even care about the world record in Guinness. What I cared about was the inspiration for people of the body is the learning device for the mind. The body is the learning device for the mind. And it's not even about the posture. The posture is the tool you use to get there and the indication that you have.
Well, you said a mouthful. I want to go back to several things. One of the things that you said is you talked about the power of thoughts, and you made a statement. And this morning today, because typically I put out a message, and today I said, you think about 60,000 thoughts a day. That's what research has said. Uh-huh. So it's up to you to make sure that you don't use 59,000 of them with a negative cynical thinking. So then make it a great day. So I'm so glad that you talked about that. But then I want to go back to breath work, because I think breath work is very, very powerful. But I think we may lose somebody in it. Several questions that comes to breath work. Why is breath work so powerful? And then what happens to our bodies when we do breath work?
Oh, I really appreciate that question. It's an insightful question. The breath is the bridge between the mind and the body. And through breath mastery, you can literally learn to control your central nervous system. So in just a kind of an everyday application, what that might look like is, let's say, for example, you're driving in the car and you witness a car accident. And instead of being super triggered and, you know, flinging into fight or flight, you'll be able to learn to stay really calm and connected, to slow deep breath and have clarity in your mind as you go through a decision-making process of how to respond in the moment. So breath is the key to your nervous system. And that's one of the most important reasons that I'd like to offer up front. Your ability to stay connected to your breath is your ability to stay connected to yourself. And therefore, B, we'll call it deliberate about the creation of your life. So breath is everything. Breath is key. And by the way, in not only a yoga practice, but literally in every moment of your life, when someone says to you, what are you doing? Instead of that rapid fire list of all the action that you're taking in the moment. And by the way, no amount of action can overcome misaligned energy, right? So through the breath, you can stay really mindful, present, and seated in the now, which is something I want to continue with in the conversation. And you can navigate with calm clarity in your life just through connection to breath. Breath work is also incredible for, I'm going to call it off-gassing or siphoning off or decompressing kind of excess energy, energy of frustration, energy of anger. When something is just really zinging you, you can sit down and, you know, off-gas a 1,000 couple body breath, come out of it feeling like just kind of like relieved and reset. Like breath is probably one of the most underrated tools. And one more thing is that not only can you release trauma and the energies that you store in your tissues through breath work, but you can also, when you're running pretty clear and pure in the inner realm, activate Kundalini energy, which is another conversation, very, very powerful with respect to self-healing and Reiki energy and just activation of yourself in its highest form. I think I made a note that I wanted to go back to the subject of now and mindfulness, because your breath will bring you into a moment of now. And by the way, those balancing postures in a yoga practice that teach you concentration are the very, very best way to bring you into absolutely positively the now with mindfulness. And in every given moment, you might learn it through a yoga practice, but then you start to understand again that first thing I said, that you learn it on the mat to use it in your life. And that is that in every given moment, I could ask you the question, Dr. Shields, what are you doing? And your answer is going to be, I'm breathing and I'm breathing and I'm hosting Kim Tang on a podcast and I'm breathing and also the nowness and the mindfulness of this question is that there's an example I want to give you. And I think this is an example that such a large part of the population can relate to in any of its forms. So I used to have a dear friend who was a teacher who taught at my studio, and she was very, very, very dedicated to her practice. And she was a single mother. And she was really carrying a heavy load and really torn. And here's what I mean by that. She would be, for example, in a yoga practice, really giving herself that self-care. Remember, self-care is not selfish, right? Mm-hmm. So she would be in a yoga practice giving herself, by the way, can you give yourself your undivided attention, because self-care is not selfish. Mm-hmm. So she was in the process of learning and she would be taking a yoga class for self-care, but she would feel very, very torn about not being with the kids. Oh my God, I'm practicing and I should be with the boys. I should be someplace other than where I am right now. And then I will say she might be with the boys feeling overwhelmed and saying, oh my God, I really need to practice, but, and again, kind of torn between where she is and where she thinks she should be, or where she is and where she's not, or something like that. It's all a practice of mindfulness in pure time presence. And I am going to say on every level of being, also meaning in the unseen realms, in the inner world. So it's not just, can you be where your feet are standing in this moment, but you can be where your feet are standing in this moment on every level of being with your pure time presence. And by the way, in a field of trust with no judgment, which is also just an extraordinary conversation for you and I to open up the box and get into.
Well, you're hitting so many boxes as you were talking, and I'm checking off the boxes. One of the boxes that I want to check off, you mentioned, you talked about the power of now. Of course, I thought about Eckhart Tolle's book, The Power of Now, in it, when he talks about realize that the present moment is all you have. And I believe that the word present is a gift. But we also, Kim, we also know that it's really, really hard. And I talked about it earlier, to keep people present, because we have we're so important that we're not taking care of ourselves. We're so important that we keep ourselves busy. We're so important that we have to send out a text message because we got to get it out at that moment. We're so important that we have to do it right now as if it's not going to change. So as you talk about the power of now, and we talked about some of the things that you're doing to help people stay present, I want to talk about you as a person who's doing this work, because quite often I bring people on here who are lecturers, who've authored books, who have tons of research, but then also want them to talk about some of their own personal challenges, because you're taking on a lot of stuff. And if we were outside, I wouldn't say stuff. It would end with S and end with T. We take on a lot of stuff. How does Kim Tang, the yoga teacher, the spiritual teacher, the intuitive teacher, the breathwork instructor, what do you do to stay present when your mind wants to go to the Coachella concert, when your mind wants to go hiking, when your mind wants to veg out on some Netflix shows? What do you do to stay present?
Yes. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say that started as cultivating the practice of presence. So I'm going to say that the awareness of it became what I would call known in my tissues through the practice of yoga, learning how to concentrate. But again, that self-cultivation leads to service in the way that through learning how to concentrate and how to give myself my undivided attention has equipped me to be able to hold space for others. So for example, right now, I'm going to guarantee you that there is absolutely nothing that I'm thinking about other than this moment with you, the conversation we're in, and I like to say on every level of being, so on the level of the mind, breathing into the subjects and just expanding in that true union with you. This is how I serve. So I share myself in the form of anything that presents. Right now, I'm sharing myself in pure time presence and a field of trust with no judgment in the form of us empowering your listeners, right? Our listeners. Mm-hmm. And so it's a practice. It's a kind of like an intention. I'm going to say that too. It's an intention that you set that right now, this is what I'm doing. And then that will be there for me later. And believe you me, it's always there for us later, isn't it? So therein is maybe striking the balance. Balance is important. You learn that in a practice as well, between what I'm going to call the things that you, quote, have to do, and the things that you want to do, and understanding that in that field of pure time presence, you can be far more effective and powerful in your creations by really being where you are and doing what you're doing on every level without the distraction of the energies and the concentration.
I love that.
So I do balance. There are things that I consider me giving myself my undivided attention, kind of like soul food and kind of like, by the way, brain food. And you and I love to talk about the brain. And I kind of call that actually consciousness, and that consciousness kind of expands into conversations about spirit, because in a way they are one and the same. And my favorite kind of conversation, I really align to the choices that I make. I think that's super important for everyone. I think that's something I just received as really important for the listeners. And that is that I'm really aligned to the choices that I make about, quote, what I do. So I share myself in the form of what I do. Anything can be yoga, any mindful practice of presence, connecting to your most authentic truth and sharing yourself in this way is what we could call yoga. After all, yoga is a state of being. It's a frequency. It's not a class.
Well, speaking of yoga, there's been an onslaught of yoga classes, yoga practices, but onslaught of, you know, the sale, Lululemon is freaking off the charts of how much they charge for certain things. People making a lot of money. What are some of your concerns with the direction of the practice?
I want to be so honest with you. So I'm going to do that.
So that means you've been lying the entire time. And no disrespect to Lululemon. They're not one of our sponsors.
How do you sponsor
Lululemon? Come on in, because those $20,000 yoga mats could definitely pay for some studio stuff. But again, are you concerned about where the practice is going?
Yeah. Okay. So of course, everything I've said is absolute truth from my perspective. And I want to tell you also, you know, yes to you naming Lululemon, because that's really like a validation of Lululemon increasing awareness of the practice of yoga through a merchandise line. So, you know, yes to it. There's no offense there. There's no harm there. I actually am an ambassador for Lululemon, kind of the inaugural ambassador of the Palm Desert store on El Paseo. Wow. So yes to Lululemon and yes to people looking great while they do the deep sea dive into their inner realm. And that's all fine. I do have perspectives that might seem conflicting. And so I want to sound it out. And here's what I'll say. First of all, massive yes to the increased awareness of yoga. I serve to increase the awareness and inspire people toward the practice of yoga. And so it's all a yes. When I scroll my newsfeed, it's almost like, oh my God, right? I've really expanded what I take in my newsfeed, because it's what I am going to call an oversaturation in a way. Now, understand that we pick what we look at, right? And so I clearly have thousands and thousands and thousands of people that I follow and people that follow me that are all yoga-centric. And so, of course, that's what I've selected to see, and I get to select anything I choose. So I choose other things as well. But the part that, if I have a concern about the oversaturation of yoga apps and so on, I would say it's that everyone presents themselves as an expert. And I see a lot of things that aren't therapeutic, that aren't supportive of authenticity and truth and meditation and connection and so on and so on. So, you know, on the one hand, it's, how about this? It's the unearthing of a construct that we've all agreed to. As a collective, and especially as a social collective in America, we've all agreed that yoga is a craze, and we all want in on it, and so on and so on. So we see more and more and more and more, and the more we click the like, the more we see, and so on and so on. And so for me, it's an indication that yoga is really coming to the forefront, and I think that that alone is a good thing.
Okay.
But I also think that there needs to be some kind of recognition of actually, like, what actually is yoga, and maybe like what isn't yoga, or what is, let's say, a high level of practice, and what kind of like isn't a high level of practice, or something like that. So I guess those are the types of concerns that I have with respect to what I see on my phone, for sure. My social media and newsfeed.
And those are really, really good perspective. And it helps those individuals who are out there who are really looking to find a good yoga instructor, looking to find great literature, podcasts, and books. Speaking of that, before I ask my last set of questions, how can my listeners get in contact with you?
Oh, thank you for that. Let's go to one central spot, and that is the website, kimtangyoga.com. And I would tell you that every single thing is there. So every single thing, not just yoga. And so kind of in the way of rebranding, if I were to describe myself to you, do you know what a Venn diagram looks like?
Yes.
A Venn diagram, just for the listeners, is kind of like two circles, and they're side by side, but they overlap. And so there's kind of like an almond shape overlap in between the circles. And I am a Venn diagram in the way that I serve is really an interesting kind of image of my answer. And that is, on one side of the Venn diagram is all things yoga, and on the other side of the Venn diagram is all things spirit. And not everyone that practices yoga knows that they're on a spiritual path, and not everyone on a spiritual path practices yoga or takes classes. But most of my audience is in the overlap between the two, and they understand that yoga is a state of being connected to self, the highest version of yourself, which is spirit. So everything is on Kim Tang Yoga. It's not just yoga. So it's, I have a video platform. I have private sessions. I have in-person events. I'm a part of a global certification program called Yoga Sport World. And there's a website for that, yogasportworld.com. And then on the spiritual side, again, I had you private sessions. I do quantum healing hypnosis, alchemy meditation, and alchemy of breath, and mostly a whole lot of intuitive spiritual counsel. I have in-person events. Every single thing is right there. And so, of course, there's social media. Please, of course, both for me and for you, Dr. Shields, to my listeners, please like, subscribe, follow, comment, and share Dr. Shields' content, because he is making changes in the world for the better. And then we'll just support each other in that way. So it's on the website.
Well, thank you for that. The second part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions. The difference between the first part, I'm going to ask you a question and you need to respond to them as quickly as possible. Are you ready? All right, let's take a couple of deep breaths. Inhale. One more, inhale. Let's go. What's your favorite word?
Five.
What's your favorite quote?
It is my own, but it's multiple lines. May I share?
Sure.
Please, and whether or not we're on camera for the listeners, I'd like this moment with you. When I see you as love. And when you see me seeing you as love. And when you see me seeing you as love, you can see yourself as love. And when you can see yourself as love, you can see me as love. It is my quote. It is my favorite quote. I appreciate you letting me have the time and space for all of it in there. Thank you.
Right. What moves you to tears of joy?
Gratitude.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
Misalignment.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
I'm doing it.
What is the book or books you've given most as a gift, and why?
All of the Paul Selig. Paul Selig is a channel. And Paul Selig is the top channel in the world for the teachings of Melchizedek. And there are currently 10 books more being channeled. And I lead a spiritual study group teaching those books. I share myself in the form of the embodiment and integration of the teaching of the guides. I share those books freely and wholeheartedly.
Final question. What's your favorite sound? All right. Great sound. I love it. Well, Kim, I appreciate you taking the time to share your story with us today. I encourage you, all folks that are listening, please go out and read everything that she's doing. I thank you for hanging out with me today, Kim.
What a pleasure. What a pleasure to know you. And thank you for inviting me. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for pouring into me and to my listeners. And I want to thank Supremacy for our theme music. And all of you for listening, make sure you subscribe, leave a comment, and stop being stingy and share me with all of your friends. If you like this episode, and I'm sure you did, please press that button to subscribe. Take care, Kim.